Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. Verse 24 through 29. Acts 28, 24 through 29. So I know we have one more sermon in Acts, which is verse 30, 31. And then I want to do one sermon that will encapsulate everything that sort of stems from Acts, that happens after Acts. And I think we'll be done with the book of Acts in two more weeks. And that'll be a sad day. Right? Sad day. And we could probably just turn around and go back through it again. And it would be good. Paul has finished preaching. He has delivered his sermon to these Jewish leaders who come from the various synagogues that are located in the city of Rome. We think there may have been 10 or 12 synagogues, and the leaders from those synagogues have been invited by Paul to come to where he is being held under house arrest, and he has told them why he is incarcerated, why he is in Rome, and then he has preached the gospel to them because they had heard negative things about Christianity. And again, in this sermon, Paul said that he expounded and he testified of the kingdom of God and was persuading them concerning Jesus Christ. And he was persuading and expounding and testifying from the Old Testament scripture. He said, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. And Luke tells us that Paul did this from morning till evening. And the result of Paul's sermon is recorded for us in Luke. By Luke in verse 24 of the book of Acts, chapter 28. And the result is this: and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Some believed, some believed not. That's the result of Paul's sermon to these Jewish leaders. And these two words are different Greek words. I mentioned that last week. Some believed, or some were persuaded, some were convinced of the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And that word believed not means they refused to believe, or they were unwilling to believe. Some were convinced and some would not believe. And so my question tonight is, why some are persuaded, that's what that word means, and why some simply won't believe? Have you ever wondered that? You ever wondered why you can have unbelievers who hear the same gospel from the same preacher in the same style in the same place for the same amount of time, and some are persuaded of the truth and others simply will not believe? How does that happen? Why does that happen? That's the question we want to answer from the Bible tonight. So let's pray and then we'll jump into the text. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us, for the blessings of this day, and we pray, God, as we open your word, that you will speak to us tonight through it, that you will help us to learn from the teaching of your word, and that we would be receptive to your word, that we will not read into the word, but we would let the word speak for itself, and that we would receive it as truth. And we pray, God, that you would help us to rejoice in and through your word and what it says to us. For your glory's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So why are some persuaded when they hear the gospel and others who hear the same gospel refuse to believe? Let's try to answer that question tonight, because that's what Paul tells us here in these verses, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our fathers. So notice that there's a division here among these Jewish leaders. The division is between those who were persuaded and those who refused to believe. Some are softened by the preaching of Paul, and some remain hardened. Some follow, and some become hostile. The good news of Jesus Christ is good news to some and not good news to others. And the thing that amazes me here is probably there's no better preacher this side of Christ than Paul. And even Paul can't convince everyone of the truth. And it's not Paul's fault. It's not a fault in Paul's presentation. That's not the problem. Because there were some that were convinced. And it's not Paul that ultimately persuades anyone of truth. Amen. It's ultimately God that has to persuade men of the truth. So there has to be an expectation here, and the expectation that Paul has to have, and the expectation that we all have to have who share the gospel, is simply this. As we share the gospel, some may be convinced, but the majority won't. That is the expectation of the presentation of the gospel, the biblical gospel. Paul's role here is to speak the truth. And he is to speak the truth in the clearest, most simplest, and most convincing way that he is able to do. He is to try his best to persuade them. But in the end, Paul has a limit to what he can do. He can only go so far in convincing and persuading men to believe the truth, because it requires the work of God to do convincing and persuading. And the reason for the rejection of the gospel, the reason men reject the gospel, the reason that men refuse to believe the gospel, is going to be the last words that Paul leaves with them in the book of Acts. And it is this truth that he gives them that ultimately causes them to depart. And this quote that we're going to look at is from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6 is where we're going to look tonight. And this truth from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah, is the truth that Paul leaves with these unbelievers. It is this truth that he wants them to go home with. And as they lay their head on their pillows that night, this is the truth that Paul wants running through their minds. This is the truth that Paul wants them to struggle with, to wrestle with, to come to grips with. Now notice something here before we move forward. Paul says two things. This quote from the book of Isaiah is a text that was spoke by the Holy Ghost and was written down by the prophet Isaiah and given to our fathers. Do you see that? Now, this is what is the doctrine of inspiration. It is the writings of men that God has chosen to pin down the scriptures, and they pin down the scriptures in their own vocabulary, in their own style, in their own arguments, in their own approach, in their own emotions, in their own expressions, for their own reasons. But everything that these chosen men wrote down is under the inspiration of God, meaning that the education of these men, the upbringing of these men, the experiences of these men, the intellect of these men, the emotions of these men, and everything else about these men, including their writings, are done by the moving of God upon them, so that everything that they write down was true and exactly what God wanted written, the way that God wanted it written. So there is a dual authorship of Scripture. It is by these men, but it is inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen? And Paul wants them to know something here. If they reject the writings of, well, let me back up. If they reject what Paul has said, they really are rejecting what Isaiah had written and really are rejecting what the Holy Spirit had inspired and really ultimately were rejecting God himself. Say amen. By rejecting Paul, they're rejecting Isaiah, the Holy Ghost, and God himself. Look at verse 26. I have both Acts 28, 26 and Isaiah 6, 9 on the screen so that you can see both of them side by side, because this is what Paul is quoting. Now, the context of this quotation in Isaiah, let's read it in Acts 28, 26, saying, "Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive." And when you go to Isaiah, where God is speaking to Isaiah, and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." So, the context here of Isaiah 6:9 is Isaiah sees the glory of God filling the temple, and angels are flying about describing God in that threefold manner of holy, holy, holy. And in the presence of God's filling of the temple with his glory, in the presence of the angelic host crying out, holy, 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 in the presence of the holiness of God, Isaiah cannot help but realize his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of the people of Israel. And he cries out, woe is me, for I am of a people of unclean lips. So he sees his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of the people of Israel. Yet Isaiah finds forgiveness of his sins and then is commissioned to go and tell the people of Israel about their sinfulness and about God's holiness. And in verse 9, God says to Isaiah, go. Go tell them. Go tell them about their sinfulness. Go tell them about my holiness. But when you preach to them, when you tell them the truth, they are going to hear physically, but they are not going to understand spiritually. They are going to see physically, but they are not going to be able to perceive spiritually. Your preaching, Isaiah, your proclaiming the truth to these people is going to result in a physical hearing and a physical seeing, but it will not result in a spiritual understanding of what you are saying, or it will not be a spiritual perceiving either. So the simple presentation of truth, the simple presentation of the truth cannot cause lost, unregenerate, fallen man to see or to understand the truth in a saving way. The simple presentation won't do it. Say amen. Man is free to do fleshly things, but man is not free to do spiritual things. And no amount of human effort, no amount of informing or trying to persuade men to see the truth can cause men to see the truth. No amount of personal effort can cause men to understand the truth, because sinful men cannot understand or comprehend the spiritual truth without a work of God. So you go, Isaiah, you preach, you proclaim, you tell them the truth, you tell them as simple as you can, you tell them as often as you can, you tell them as loud as you can, but they are not going to understand and they're not going to perceive. That's what it says. But if you think that's bad, it gets worse. Look at verse 27. In Acts, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. Look what Isaiah says. Or look what God says to Isaiah. Isaiah, you go preach to them. They're not going to understand. They're not going to perceive. They're going to hear physically. They're going to see physically, but they're not going to understand. They're not going to perceive spiritually. And then he tells Isaiah, an understood you here, you make the heart of this people fat. And you make their eyes or their ears heavy. And you shut their eyes. lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Do you see what God is telling Isaiah? It is going to be the preaching of the truth. It is going to be the proclamation of the truth that will be used of God to bring judgment on his people. Isaiah will be sent to the people of Israel. He will teach and he will preach and he will proclaim the truth faithfully. And his ministry and his words and his preaching are not just going to be ignored and not understood and not perceived, but his preaching and teaching and proclamation of the truth and his ministry to these people is going to be what God uses to harden their hearts. Amen. It's going to blind their eyes. It's going to dull their ears. Do you see that? The only way that people can be forgiven of their sins, the only way that people can be converted to God and healed spiritually, is if they understand with their hearts. They don't. And God says that the preaching of the truth will further ensure that they won't. They don't and they won't. Because the more Isaiah preaches the truth to them, the more their hearts will be hardened, the more that their eyes will be dimmed, and the more their ears will be dulled. That's the judgment of God. Say amen. Now, what is the expectation for Isaiah? Isaiah is commissioned by God. They ask, who will go for us? Isaiah says, I'll go. God says, go. You preach. You proclaim. They'll hear. They'll see, but they're not going to understand. They're not going to perceive. As a matter of fact, the more you preach, the more their hearts will become fat, the more their ears will become heavy, the more their eyes will become shut. So can I ask you? When Isaiah goes, what kind of expectation does he have? What kind of expectation for success does he have? God is saying, go preach, but do not expect any positive results. Go preach, but do not expect anyone to believe. Go preach, but don't expect anyone to understand. Go preach, but don't expect anybody to receive. Isaiah, what you need to understand is you need to expect rejection. You need to expect unbelief. In fact, if anyone believes, it'll be a miracle. Yes, if anyone ever believes, it is a miracle of God. Are you aware that this passage in Isaiah 6 is quoted 6 times in the New Testament? 6 times. 6 times. It would seem to me that something quoted 6 times would have some importance and value. In fact, Jesus Christ himself quoted this passage. So what is the warning here? The warning is this. Paul is warning these Jews who are walking away after hearing the truth. They've heard the truth preached and proclaimed from morning to evening, and they're walking away. They're rejecting the truth. They are refusing to believe. And the warning is, you walk away, but you're walking away with hearts that are going to be further hardened, eyes that are going to be further blinded, ears that will be further dulled. You've heard the truth. You walk away and reject it. You don't leave the same way you come. Say amen. You don't leave the same way that you came. You leave after hearing the truth and rejecting it, ignoring it. You leave with a heart that is a little harder, eyes that are a little duller, ears that are a little more stopped up. Say amen. Every time the word is read, every time the word is heard, every time the word is proclaimed and taught, and then it meets with rejection by men's hearts, every time that happens, the word of God does something. What does it do? It hardens the heart. It shuts the eyes. It closes the ears a little bit more. And most people, they won't say, they won't tell you, well, I'm never going to follow God. Most will acknowledge that they need to follow God, right? They need to get in church. They need to do the right thing. But it's always they'll do it when? Later. Later on down the road. And all along between then and then, their hearts are becoming harder. Their eyes are becoming heavier. And their ears are becoming duller. Do you see that? What Paul's telling these leaders is, you don't think you're walking away and you're staying in neutral. You're not. You're walking away and you're becoming harder when you walk away from the truth. You can come to church. You can hear the truth preached. You can hear the truth taught. And walk away, ignoring it, disbelieving it. And every service that you do that, your heart becomes a little harder. Your eyes become a little more blind and your ears become a little more deaf. Every time you don't submit to the truth, every time you don't obey the truth, you become hardened to it. The truth here is that because men will not come to Christ, the judgment of God will render them unable to come to Christ. And instead of the gospel softening hearts, it hardens. In the church, we judge everything according to conversions, right? So if we have a Bible school, what's the first person anybody asks you about your Bible school? How many of them got saved? How many did you have saved at Bible school? How many raised their hands? There's churches that base their entire success on how many people were baptized last year. Do you know how many people Isaiah got to communicate and report that were saved, raised their hand, or were baptized under his preaching? Guess how many he got to write down? None. None. So I guess what we're saying is that Isaiah may have been the biggest failure of any of the prophets because he preached and had none saved. I don't think he was a failure. I think his ministry and his preaching did exactly what God designed for him and his preaching to do. He preached, and the preached word hardened the hearts of those who heard it and rejected it. And this is why we are not to try to manipulate the results. Because the design of Isaiah's preaching was to harden, not to soften. It was the judgment of God that was being executed through the preaching of Isaiah. And let me just remind you, the results are not ours to decide. It's God's prerogative what he wants to do with his gospel. Those who ignore and walk away from the truth will be under the judgment of God. There are a whole bunch of people today in the funeral, heard the gospel. As far as I know, they walked out and never even considered what I said. They are now under the judgment of God. Say amen. And we have to understand this. Those who hear the truth and reject it are going to be hardened by it. If it doesn't soften, it will harden. They will see less, they will hear less, not more. Look at verse 28. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is what? Is sent. To who? The Gentiles. Now let's stop there for a minute. Do you see here that Paul says that the salvation of God is not thrown out indiscriminately? It's sent. The gospel is sent. It's a word that means it's dispatched to a specific location. Say amen. You with me? Let me try to get you to see this. This is not one of those mass mailings that you get in the mail that when you look at it on the address, it says occupant. The salvation of God is not sent indiscriminately to occupants. It is sent to addresses and names of certain specific people. Say amen. It is sent to Gentiles, and the promise is that they will hear it. The sending of the gospel will be met with a hearing, or we could say a heeding, a giving of careful attention to, a listening to, and an obedience to. The gospel that is sent specifically to certain people is guaranteed to be heard and received. Say amen. Gospel that is proclaimed, the gospel that is preached, the gospel that is taught will mostly be rejected, and sometimes will be under the judgment of God on those who reject it, but it will sometimes fall on hearts, minds, and wills that have been sent salvation, and the same gospel that hardens will also soften hearts, open eyes, and unstop ears. Say amen. The same gospel hardens some, stops up the ears of some, closes the eyes of some. The same gospel will open the eyes and open the ears and open the hearts of those that hear it. But it's not in the gospel itself, right? It's not in the preacher. It's not in the presentation. It's in the work of God in their hearts. There is the rejection by the Jews. There is the reception by the Gentiles. So, the reason that some believe and some don't is because the same gospel, the same truth, presented the same way, will either harden in judgment or it will soften in the grace of God in salvation. And we don't know what it's doing. We just share it. We just proclaim it. We just preach it. And God does the work. And if it's true, if that's true, and it is, that God is the one who saves, all glory, all honor, all praise must then go to God. There is no glory to give a preacher. There is no glory to give a presentation. There is no glory to give an outline. No glory, no honor, no praise goes to anyone or anything else but God. If you are saved, it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that was accepted as a propitiation for your sins to appease the anger and the judgment of the Father. He gets all glory. Somebody mentioned that the other day. I forgot who it was. And I looked at him and I said, "You see this pencil? You see this pen? That's all we are. We are used in the hand of God. But the pen and the pencil doesn't get glory. The hand that moves it gets the glory." So some believed, some rejected, some followed, some departed, some loved, some hated. Why? Because both of them was the will of God. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray.